بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. If someone were to ask us why God sends prophets, why he sends anbiya, our answer would be that God sends the prophets because he wants us human beings to experience his best, to experience the fullness of his blessings, to go as far as we possibly can in this world and the next. God's generous, and the job of the anbiya is to bring us to that area and help us to reach that goal. But if someone were to ask us another question, and that would be, were the prophets successful? Were the prophets able to achieve that goal that they set out? We'd have to give them a slightly different answer. What we would tell them is that the prophets, their mission was in line with haq, with the truth. It was that message went along and resonated with the fitrah of the people. The prophets were those perfect leaders, and the plan that they had for mankind was to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. That was their plan. All of the anbiya, they were all looking for that goal, the same goal as our imam. That was how they were going to get people to experience God's best. So I would say this in answer to that first question. Were the prophets successful? I'm going to give you a verse of the Holy Quran, but I'm going to tell you this first. All of the prophets were successful individually. Or put it this way, they were successful collectively, as in they all did their each in their own responsibility. Each prophet, each Nabi would go over and he would do his responsibility. And that way the prophet was successful. Absolutely. Something else though. God had promised victory for the prophets and the followers of the prophets. This is now in the Quran. For the prophets and the followers of the prophets. This is Surah 37, verses number 172 and 174. God says this, وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ For indeed, our word has gone forth unto our messengers. Our word, our kalima, has gone forth to our messengers. What did we promise our messengers? إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُرُونَ Truly, definitely, they are mansurun. They are going to be given help and assistance. They'll be given victory. The prophets, they're going to get divine help. They will surely be helped. What else? God says, وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ Our jund, our army, our forces, our hosts, they are also victorious. So God promised victory to the anbiya. He promised victory to those who are followers of the anbiya. But this promise, that, and God doesn't lie. If he says in the Quran that they're going to be victorious, they were. And I said that individually they all were because they all did their responsibility. Each Nabi, no matter what the outward circumstances were, he did his job. And that way he's victorious. But the other part, remember you asked me something else. You said, well, you can phrase it in this way. The way that they were going to help us experience God's best was to create the kingdom of God on the earth, to establish societies based on Tawheed. Did that happen for every prophet? And the answer is no. It wasn't the case that every prophet was successful in that way. So collectively, we can say that they were successful. But individually, if you say each and every prophet, were they able to establish the kingdom of God on the earth? We'd say no. What happens is, why? Why is it that some prophets, like Nabi Yahya, like Nabi Zakariya, like other anbiya, they were martyred? Maybe you've heard the stories about Nabi Zakariya, that he was in a tree and he was sawed in half. Yahya, his head was taken and given as a gift to one of the tyrants, right? He didn't succeed outwardly, if you say. He didn't succeed in establishing God's kingdom. He was martyred. The question is why? And the answer is something, it's short, it's concise, but it applies to us. Whenever the followers of the prophets had two characteristics, the followers of the prophets, you and I, whenever we, believers, had two characteristics, the Anbiya would be successful. This is true for all of the A'imma also, and for our Imam. Whenever the followers of the Anbiya, you and I, we had two characteristics, walaikum as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, whenever we had two characteristics, there will be external victory. The kingdom of God will be established. Sulaiman would be able to establish the king of God. Nabi Dawood would be able to establish the kingdom of Allah. What were those two characteristics? One of those characteristics was faith, iman, but with that definition that we learned from the Quran. True faith in the Quran is one, an intellectual realization. I'm personally, intellectually convinced that Islam is the truth. The book is the book of Allah. Personally, intellectually, I'm convinced. Not just that I'm following the way of my forefathers. Number two, that I know that being a Muslim and having faith and being a mu'min comes with commitments. It's not just a theory that's in the heart that I think there's one God and not two. That's also number two. And number three, the followers of the prophets, they had to be ready to honor all of the commitments of Islam, not picking and choosing in the faith. Those followers of the prophets who regard Islam as being a buffet. There are certain parts of Islam, ahkam, rulings of God, but I don't feel that it's necessary for me to practice them. Those people, no, they weren't able to help the prophets. That's not even considered a mu'min. According to the ayat of the Quran, the believer honors all of the commitments and considers themselves bound to do all of Islam, everything God says. If the prophets, the followers of the prophets had that first condition, that would be iman, faith. That was the first condition. But that wasn't the only condition. In addition to that, the followers of the prophets had to have another condition, mentioned in the verses of the Quran. Whenever the second condition was there, and it was combined with the first condition, then you would see an external victory. The second condition was sabr, patience. The ability of the followers to resist. The ability of the followers to continue practicing the mission. When things became difficult, once the challenges came on, once the enemies woke up, once the enemies started to apply pressure on the believers, if the followers were able to have that first, that iman, and then also that sabr and resist, then you would see the outward victory. By the way, it's true for us also, right? True iman, according to the Quran, and then also that kind of patience. So if you remember, there's a hadith that I shared maybe on the second day. Again, for us as believers, what are we looking for? Because you and I were trying to prepare for the coming of the imam of the time. What are we supposed to have? The traits we're supposed to have. This is what the imam tells us, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. He says, وَلَا يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعَلَمُ. No one can carry this alam. No one can carry this standard illa, except the people who have the following characteristics. Ahlul basar, people of deep understanding and insight. What else? Wasabr, patience, ability to resist, not abandoning the path. And what else? Al-ilm bimawaqi'il haqq. They know the positions of truth. Imam Ali taught us, we don't know truth through personalities. We don't know what the truth is through personalities. اعرف الحق تعرف أهله. Know who what the truth is, you know who the people of truth are. So what happens is, the way that Islam is taught to us, what the Quran teaches us, about the struggle of the Anbiya and the struggle of our Imam, the Imam who we're waiting for, the Imam who we're preparing for, is that it's not the case that haq, the truth, because it's the truth, it requires no effort. It's a walk in the park. The believers come, they embrace the truth, they say, La ilaha illallah, and they start walking, and then God just takes care of everything. It doesn't work like that. There's never been the case like that. It's never been the case that it was just easy. A believer would go over and say, La ilaha illallah, and then they would relax, and then Allah would send malaika, and they would destroy the enemies. It was never like that. We have verses in the Quran. Remember, Allah teaches us by asking us questions. There are times in the Quran where God questioned us. This one is Surah 29, and verse number 2, it says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ. Do people think, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ? Do people really think that they're just going to say, آمَنَّا, we believe, and يُتْرَكُوا, they'll be left, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ? There's not going to be any test? Do you really, are they that simple to think, I just walk in, I say, آمَنَّا, I believe, that's it, and then that's it? No. The way that the truth works, haq works, is that there's a struggle involved. There's jihad. There's sacrifice. And then if the believers resist, then yes, Allah grants them outward victory. Now, something else for us to keep in mind, and especially keep in mind for later, right? Because we're waking up now, and we're getting ready for the imam, but when the imam, the time as it gets closer, then get ready for more tests, more trials. This is something for us to keep in mind. For that greater struggle when we're trying to establish the kingdom of God on the earth, and then later we'll see how this relates to our personal lives. When you and I set out on the path of truth, and we're moving in the right direction, and we're doing the right things, sometimes initially it's easy. Sometimes initially when we start moving in the right direction, it's easy. It's not that challenging. And then God sends test. The going gets a little bit tougher. When the going gets tougher, some people at that stage, they say, okay, if it's a little bit tough, we'll be able to resist. We keep on. We're encouraging one another. And then after that, it gets tougher and tougher until it gets to the stage that it literally looks that there's no way out. The doors are all closing. We start on the path of truth. We're pushing. We're resisting. It gets a little bit challenging. We keep pushing. It gets more difficult, more challenging. Finally, we get to the stage that looks like there's no way out. That's it. Everything is going to crumble. The walls are caving in on us. If we can resist at that time, then Allah's help comes. If we can resist and not abandon the truth and not get scared and not panic and not run away and say that there's enough people with Hazrat Muslim, we don't need to do anything, we can go back. If we can resist at the time when it gets really tough, at that time the help comes. So let's see, this is another verse of the Holy Quran. So please send a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is Surah Yusuf, so Surah number 12. Surah number 12. And it's verse number 110. God says this. So now it gets a chance for you and I to hear, what were the prophets feeling? How difficult were the challenges? What were the prophets, the anbiya, what were they feeling? Listen to this. It says, Hatta idha stay'asa ar-rusul, until the messengers lost hope. The difficulties, the challenges were so great. The number of the enemy, people leaving, abandoning the truth, difficulties, challenges, shahada, right? Until the rusul, the messengers, lost hope. And then what happened? وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا. They thought they had been told lies. At that stage, جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. At that stage, when everything was collapsing, جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Our victory came. Our help came. The divine assistance came. God never abandons his religion. But is it going to be the case that it'll be a walk in the park, we just roll through? No. Remember the story of David and, non-Muslims say David and Goliath, Dawood and Jalut. It's a story in the Quran. Finally, the believers, after that test, remember they come over to the little river. Whoever drinks from this river is not from me, except if you take a little bit of water. Even some of the believers took that little bit of water. Those who made it to the other side, how many passed the test? 313. Who are you going to face? Jalut. What did the believers ask for? Remember, the mu'mineen, what did they pray for? This is what they said. Rabbana afrig alayna sabra. O Allah, pour down patience upon us. Afrig alayna sabra. When that was the case, mu'mineen gathered, doing their responsibility, iman, and also sabr, afriq alayna sabra, then victory. Then victory. Then Dawood, he took out Jalut, and Islam became victorious. We were able to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. So these are principles about how the world works, how Allah has created this. And you and I need to know these principles because we're preparing for a living imam. This isn't a joke. How many Ramadans do we have before the imam returns? How many times do we get a chance to repeat these lessons and tell one another? You tell me, I tell you. Right? When it gets tough, sometimes you have to tell me, Shaykh, relax, it's going to be okay. Allah's help is on its way. I have to tell you, same thing. Wa tawassaw bis sabri, wa tawassaw bil haq. So, in addition to that, it's also true in our personal lives. If you and I want to experience God's best, so one time we're trying to work to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. What are the principles? We learn those principles. What about in our personal lives? If you and I want to experience God's best in our personal lives, we also have to have proactive patience. It's not going to be the case that as a believer, those promises of God, which God has, and beautiful promises in the Quran, I can activate those promises. I can access that guidance without doing any resistance. I just sit back, I relax, I float through life. I don't make any effort, and God does everything. No. So even if I want to experience, so one, of course, the main thing, the reason we're gathered here is the Imam of the time. We want, that's our main goal. If he returns, everything else is solved. But in addition to that, as believers heading up to that, In our personal lives. When it comes to self-development, تحذيب النفس, جهاد الأكبر. When it comes to that, again, it's that same struggle. We have to put up resistance. We have to show sabr. In addition to faith, resisting, pushing. What about if we want to have righteous families? Because you and I know that the first line of defense and the way of us preparing the way of the imam, coming of the imam, is to develop strong, healthy, believing, righteous families. Not dysfunctional families. Healthy families, loving families. Those are for each one of us. Each one of those families is a point of resistance for us. It's part of the resistance. I want to develop a healthy family, a strong family, a family based on God. What else? What about if we want to experience a happy marriage? Let me tell you this, and you, inshallah, you've heard it from others before, but if you want to experience God's goodness, even in marriage, and want to experience a happy marriage, we have to be prepared to be patient sometimes. If you and I believe what's in the movies, we think, no, the Hollywood, the way they told us it was in the movie. If somebody believes that, they're in for a rude awakening. Sometimes in a marriage, even a good marriage, I picked the right person, they're a good person, a mu'mina. It takes patience. So even in marriage, what about if I want to experience financial success, true financial success, which doesn't take me away from Allah and His Messenger? Because some people, money changes them. Allah tests some people with money. And then you'll see that same person who was a mu'min before, was ready to sacrifice before, everything was Islam and the Prophet and ready for the 12th Imam, now that I have a little money in my pocket. But what about if I have financial success that doesn't take me away from Allah? Allah has granted me, in Islam it's good for us to be able to get spacious homes. It's good for us. It's a blessing. If I can use that spacious home so that it's a place of remembering Allah, I didn't get attached to that house. I'm able to entertain guests in that house, hold majalis in that house, right? That's a spacious home, right? But at the same time, I remember the story of the Lady Fatima. Remember what she did on that night when she came to the houses of the believers. They knocked on the doors of the believers. They said that now we need you to come and join us. Shave your head, come and join us in this area. The believers, you and I, we have to be ready. When we get that call, I can walk away from everything. My business, my house, my career, everything, whatever Allah needs. That readiness to sacrifice is there. Money didn't change me. So if I want to experience that success, financial success, I want to go to school and, right? You have to have a good work ethic. You have to have a good work ethic. Even when it comes to, I mean, this is a little bit of a contemporary example, but right now the finals are going on in the NBA. The finals are going on. When it comes to those people who are the best of the best, it's not only physical talent. It's a good work ethic. Sabr, patience, right? So even in our personal lives, we want to experience success, God's best, which God, the Anbiya came to give us. We've got to have this trait of patience. So listen now to what Allah tells the Prophet. When he's advising the Prophet, he says, so Surah 40, verse number 55, he says, Fasbir, inna wa'dallahi haq. Be patient. Fasbir. Have patience. Truly, Allah's promise is true. Inna wa'dallahi haq. But you've got to be patient. You've got to resist. Now, you know what the opposite of that is? Walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The opposite of that, and sometimes many of us, including myself, many times God has prepared a situation where we're about to experience God's best. Right? We've been patient, we've been trying, we've been pushing, we've been doing the right things, and God has created a situation, now we're on the cusp of victory, but then what happens? Sometimes we get a little bit hasty. We ruin everything. We panic. We do something that's against the rules. We don't obey. We're hasty. We rush things, right? Because it takes patience. It takes time. It takes sensitivity, measuring our steps, saying the right things, waiting. Sometimes what happens is people lose patience right at the end, right? So that advice that God gave the Prophet, that's also fasbir, be patient. Inna wa'dallahi haq. God's promise is true. Hang in there. Sometimes people make mistakes. They get a little bit hasty. Remembering about a story once there was an airplane and it was about to go down. The pilot came out and he said that there's 3 parachutes left and 4 of you. I'm taking 1 parachute. I'm jumping. You guys figure it out. So one of the people, he got the parachute. He said, I'm a doctor. My patients need me. He got the parachute, he jumped out. The other guy said that, I'm the smartest man in the world. The world needs me. And he jumped out. There was an old man and a little girl left. The old man told the little girl, he said, why don't you take the parachute? I'm an old man, I'm going to die anyway. Take the parachute, you jump. She said, no, there's 2 parachutes. He said, what do you mean? He said, the smartest man in the world jumped out with my backpack. So sometimes people ruin, they're on the cusp of victory. But because they're hasty, they make mistakes, the victory Allah wanted them to have, people don't experience it. We're supposed to be patient. We're not supposed to give up. God makes it so sometimes the test, it lasts a little bit longer than we were expecting. If we can hang in there, fasbir, then we can experience it. As opposed to getting hasty and making these kind of decisions. So, some ways now for us to practice proactive patience. This is different from being resigned to one's fate. Some people, maybe when they hear sabr, they say that just means I'm resigned to my fate. I put my hands down. What else can I do? I remember hearing a story once. They said once there was these 2 brothers and they were walking along and one of them fell inside the hole. There's a hole in the ground. He fell inside. It was too deep. So the other brother looked over inside the hole. He sees the other guy down in the pit. He says, will you have sabr until I go and get a rope to get you out of the hole? He said, if I don't have sabr, what else can I do? Sitting in the hole, resigned to his fate. So what happens is some people, they think of sabr as being resigned to their fate. What we're talking about is proactive patience. What's proactive patience? What's the difference between that and just sitting, relaxing, there's nothing else I can do, it's all over, God's written it this way. We're looking for that proactive patience. So, with proactive patience, I'm going to share a hadith of the Prophet where he tells us there's 3 signs of a person who's really sabir. Right? If somebody wants to have proactive patience, the right kind of patience, what we're taught in Quran and Sunnah, the Prophet tells us there's 3 signs. Let's see if we have those signs. But I'll go over and I'll start to mention some things that we have to keep in mind for ourselves in order to have that proactive patience. Number 1, when you and I are dealing with a long-term problem or an issue, we have to start off with realistic goals for this problem being resolved. Let's say somebody says that, I'm going to make dua. This is a ridiculous example so we can kind of move where we're supposed to be. Somebody says that, I want to make $1 million and I give God 5 days. Then it doesn't happen in 5 days. They get frustrated. They lose hope. Why is it not happening, right? I didn't give myself a realistic time frame. If I'm dealing with a long-term problem, let's say I'm dealing with a spouse. My spouse, for whatever reason, my spouse, my husband, my wife, whatever reason, they have a certain akhlaqi trait that they shouldn't have. They're an angry person. They're depressed, whatever it is. Do I expect immediate results that I go over and one day I come in, I'm fired up, I mention one, two, a hadith, and then after that person's going to correct themselves? That's not having a realistic picture of how long it takes for one to develop oneself. If we want to go over another area, I want to go over and get my education. Okay, well, a realistic picture. I want to establish a business. I want to get out of debt. A realistic picture for when how I can expect this. A realistic picture. As opposed to the idea of setting a time for God, right? An unrealistic expectation. Then we see it doesn't happen. The next thing you know, we're going and we're losing hope and getting upset and these things. Setting that realistic expectation for how things will happen helps us be able to do our responsibility properly. Right? But by the way, there's a little side point, something explained between the parentheses. When you and I set up an expectation, let's say I've been dealing with somebody gets hurt in an accident, right? They're playing basketball, for instance. They're playing sports, and they're going to rehab, right? Going to rehab. They're rebuilding. There's one time when I say normally I would expect that 3 months of rehab, if I do 3 months of rehab, then after that, inshallah, I'll be better. It's the normal process, the way that it works. Question, this is important. Does that mean I can't expect a miracle to happen sooner? That it's wrong when you're telling me to have a realistic expectation. It takes about 3 months of rehab to get your leg better. Can I not expect, as a believer, someone who believes in God, in the Almighty, that it could be the case that God heals me faster? Is that wrong? The answer is no. It's good for us to have those expectations. So let's see if this makes sense. From one side, realistically, I've planned for myself and I said, it takes 3 months to get cured, but at the same time, I know God can do all things. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ God has power over all things. I know God can do it sooner. And there's nothing wrong with that. Praying with expectancy, having hope, they actually have taught us to do that and they want us to be that. This hadith is from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He says, "Inna lillah fi ayami dahrikum nafahat." Truly, for God, during your lifetime, there are times when divine breezes blow, nafahat. He says, "Ala fatarassadu laha." Be on the lookout for those divine breezes. There are times when God will step in, miracles will happen, good things will happen, and you can do, imagine you have a ship that's sailing, it's moving in the ocean. Normally to cross this long ocean, it takes, but imagine if a divine breeze comes, that wind gets in the sails. How much faster will the boat be able to sail? You'll be able to do things supernaturally. Right? So as a believer, expecting divine help, keeping that in mind that yes, God can make it happen sooner than conventional wisdom, expecting that, hoping that, that's actually a good thing. There's another question. When is it that we should just stop making a dua? I've been praying for this particular thing for a long time. I've been asking, I've been praying, I've been trying, I've been patient. When do I learn that God doesn't want it to happen? Stop making dua. Just sit down, relax. This is it. When am I supposed to do that? So this is different from the first one. The first one is the idea of when I pray with expectancy. As the Imam taught me, Imam Sadiq says, he says, when you make dua, expect your haja is at the door. Right? You live life like that. I'm expecting God to turn things around. It's not going to take 50 years to get fixed. God can do it in an instant. Yes, I have realistic expectations. Yes, I'm doing my responsibility. But I know God can step in. This is different though. sometimes people wonder, they're like, look, I've been making dua about this. When do I know? When do I get that message that that's it, it's enough, relax. You don't need to make dua for this. And the answer is that God actually likes it when we're stubbornly insisting and praying. Human beings are the opposite. If I come over to you and I'm saying, brother, loan me X amount of money, right? The first time you say, Sheikh, you know, I don't have $5,000, whatever the loan is. The second time I ask, I say, Sheikh, the third time, you're not going to answer the phone. You know, Sheikh's calling. Okay, click. Right? We don't like it. Human beings, we don't like it. If somebody keeps harassing us, right? God does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He likes it when we keep begging, when we haven't given up. We're begging Him. We're insisting from Him. God likes that. We're abd of Allah, ibad of Allah. God likes it when we beg. He likes it when we insist, when we haven't given up. Actually, we have in our hadith, that sometimes God delays your prayers because He likes to hear your voice. I've been praying for this for 5 years. God says the answer is here. Let's read the hadith. It says, "Inna Allah yuakhiru ijabat al-mu'min." God delays the ijaba of the mu'min. He's going to give the believer a response. Yuakhir. He delays it. Why does He delay it? Shawqan ila du'a'ih. God likes shawqan. God loves to hear the believer making du'a. Shawqan ila du'a'ih. Yaqulu sawtun. Uhibbu an asma'ahu. I love to hear this voice. I'm going to give Him the thing, but I like it. He's begging, He's insisting. I like that. And sometimes, actually, what we learn is that sometimes God doesn't like the munafiq. And because He doesn't like the munafiq, quickly He gives the munafiq what he or she wants. So same thing in the hadith. Wa yu'ajjilu ijabata du'a al munafiq. So sometimes it's the case. So we shouldn't think of God like human beings, that He just doesn't want to hear our voice. I remember hearing a story once. They said once, this guy and his wife, they were arguing, and they got so angry at each other, they started giving each other the silent treatment. They didn't want to hear each other's voice, giving each other the silent treatment. So then the husband, he realized, I have a plane to catch early in the morning at 5 o'clock. So he wrote a note to his wife. He said that, wake me up at 5 o'clock, I've got a plane to catch. And he put it on her side of the bed. He said, I don't want to hear her voice. Then later he woke up, it's 10 o'clock. I missed the flight. Looking all around, he's so angry. Then he looks and sees there's another note on the side of the bed. The note said, it's 5 o'clock, get up. So God's not like that. He wants to hear our voice. He likes it when we beg. So we keep begging, keep pleading. That's the right way to be. God likes that. Now, I mentioned that there's a hadith from the Prophet where he says that there's three traits. If you have these three, then we can say we have proactive patience. What are those traits? How can we acquire them? We'll go over and but first please send a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says, alamatu sabir, the sign of someone who is sabir, thalatha. The person who's patient, there's three signs that this person will have. The first one, awwaluha, the first of these signs is this. He says, an la yaksala, that the person doesn't become lazy. Some people end up with, instead of having a can-do mentality, they have a defeatist mentality. They stop doing their responsibility, have a defeatist mentality. Who can overcome this? I've been dealing with this for so long. How can, right? A defeatist mentality. The first sign was the idea that the believer has a can-do mentality. What we learn is that Islam wants us, with the help of Allah, to see ourselves as a powerhouse. I'm going to mention the verses of the Quran. The idea that we're capable. Whatever test Allah throws our way, the idea that I can defeat this, I can overcome this, based on the ayat of the Quran, this challenge is one that would have destroyed so many other people. How should I feel about this challenge? It's very important for me as a believer that I feel that I have a can-do mentality. Once Imam Khomeini, he was walking with his son Ahmad.
Imam Khomeini is walking with his son, Sayyid Ahmad. So he's walking, and Sayyid Ahmad started explaining to him. He said that, you know, the superpowers have made such and such a decision. And then he started telling Imam Khomeini, the superpowers, America, Soviet Union, these guys, these the big guys. So then Imam Khomeini turned to Ahmad Agha and he said, Ahmad, say Iran. So Ahmad probably was thinking, hope it's just us. One time we're standing in front of the people telling the people America can't do anything. Now it's just me and you, we're walking in the garden. He said, no, Ahmad, when you're mentioning the superpowers, say Iran is a superpower. But I thought, when I'm not giving slogans, you're supposed to think that way. Until finally Ahmad said that. You have to see yourself as being strong, capable. I can do this. I can overcome this. Which verses is it in the Quran? Many times in the Quran. Many times in the Quran. One of them is this. Surah Baqarah, verse number 86, it says, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah places no burden on a soul greater than it can bear. Allah will never place a burden on me that's greater than I can bear. I'm capable. I can win. I can be victorious. I have the talent it takes. I have the talent it takes. The hadith tells us this, that God sends down help based on how difficult the challenge is. وَعَلَىٰ قَدْرِ الْمَعُونَ يَكُونُ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمَعُونَ. The help that helps down from Allah for the believer, that's based on how difficult the challenge is. God sends that help, so I have this ability. More than that, what about the creativity? Because sometimes I've been dealing with a problem for a long time. Sometimes you and I know some problems that we face are complicated. They're challenging. How do we deal with those problems? How do we overcome those problems? One of those things, again, promise of God in the Quran is this. It says, اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Have taqwa of Allah. Do your responsibility. Do what God wants from you. If you do that, then God will provide you guidance. اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. God will teach you. So the believer, this one is from, again, Surah Baqarah, verse number 282. God will teach us. So the idea that I'm capable of doing this, I can continue to resist. Absolutely. God told me in the Quran. Number two, what about the creativity? What about being able to figure this out, learning this? I'm learning something new. I'm dealing with a new situation. اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. God will teach you. Another one that helps us from the second one. The second characteristic that the Prophet said was three signs. The first one was not getting lazy. Right? I'm capable. What else? Number two is not getting tired. Sometimes when you and I have been dealing with a difficulty for a long time, after a while we start to get tired of it. How long do I have to keep dealing with this? I keep pushing, I keep trying, right? I'm not seeing the results. Sometimes we're results oriented. This one's also very important for us. In order for us not to get tired, brothers and sisters, we have to see the good that's happening also. Not only the difficulties, not only focusing on the challenge that's at hand, but also those good points that are there, those things. So the Quran tells us, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With difficulty is surely ease. We want to see both things, both the challenge, but also the ease, the light that's there at the end of the tunnel. Very important for us. Number three that helps with staying patient, remembering that this world is short. Our life here is not going to be for a long time. If we're patient, it's not going to be for a long time. If we lose patience, if we're hasty, how long are we going to live? The hadith tells us this, Adunya sa. Life in this world is one moment. Faj'alha ta'a. Make it obedience. You're only here for a little while. Do what your responsibility is. You can make it. So the other one that we have to keep in mind is the idea of not putting God in a box. Not putting God in a box. Sometimes what happens, believers get frustrated. They're dealing with difficulties for a long time. They have a way. They can see a way. I see the solution to this problem is this. I think in a straight line. Whereas God and life, many times, it goes through circles. God has so many things that he's doing. The idea of me teaching God, telling God, God, it needs to be done like this. I have a paper. God, stick to the plan. That's not the way that Allah, we're slaves of Allah. What does God teach us in that hadith Qudsi? He says, O son of Adam, ati'ni fima amartuk. You obey me. Ati'ni fima amartuk. You obey me. Wa la tu'allimni ma yuslihuk. Don't teach me what's good for you. Don't teach me my interests lie are this way. No, everything, the way that God has it is good. The plan that God has, how long God's going to make it happen, how long it takes to experience this, all of these things are good. I remember hearing a story once. They said once this guy, this king, he had a believing servant, a Muslim servant. And the servant would always be repeating these things. God's good. Everything God does is for a reason, right? So one day they went hunting. And when they went hunting, then a wild animal attacked them. The servant tried to beat off the wild animal, but the wild animal came and it took one of the fingers of the king. It bit one of the fingers of the king. And so after that, the Muslim servant told the king, he was like, God's good, everything he does for a reason. He said, what'd you say? He said, God's good, everything he does for a reason. The king, he took my... He said, take him off to prison. And as they're dragging that Muslim off to prison, the Muslim said, God's good, everything he does is good. The next day, the king went out hunting by himself now. And when he went out hunting, then he didn't have the servant with him. Some savages captured him. They captured the king. They said, we're cannibals. We're going to sacrifice him. They brought him to go over, and they were about to sacrifice him, put him on the altar to eat him. And they looked, and they said, oh, he's not a perfect human being. One of his fingers is missing. They let him go. He came back to the castle, and now he's like, alhamdulillah. So he went and he told them, he said, bring that Muslim servant out of jail. Alhamdulillah, luckily I lost that finger. So he brought the servant out of jail. He said, alhamdulillah, I lost that finger. You know, otherwise I'd be... He said, but I have a question for you. You always say God's good. If God's so good, why did he let you, me, put you in jail? He said, if I were with you, I have all of my fingers. Everything Allah does for a reason. He knows what he's doing. Nothing slips him. He knows exactly what he's doing. And the last point is this. The way that God operates is that for many times, for many of us, just where we're on the cusp of victory, when things seem too great to bear, when you're holding on with everything you have, and it looks like the whole world's caving in, that is the point. The climax is when the victory happens, the way that it works. Hadith. Imam Ali says this, alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. He says, عِنْدَ تَنَاهِيَ الشِّدَّةِ. He says, when difficulty reaches its climax, تَكُونُ الْفُرْجَةِ. That's when the relief comes. So things are getting difficult. I've been putting up with it. Things are getting more difficult. Till finally it gets to the stage that I can't take it anymore. So what happens is, I remember hearing a story once. They said once there was this man named Thomas. So Thomas, he was on a little boat out at sea. The ship went down and his boat made it. He had a little raft. A couple of pieces of wood, he made it, and he went to the island. When he went to that island, he took the wood that was left in his raft, and he made himself a little wooden hut. And every day he would pray, and he would ask for help, and he would ask God, and it seemed like the heavens are silent. He's not getting any answer. He's on that island. No help is coming. He said until finally one day he came, and he saw that his little wooden hut that he made, that was on fire. When he saw that was on fire, then he really got upset. He started crying. He was upset. The last thing I had in this world was my hut, and now that's in flames. He sat down on the beach. Then after about 2 hours later, he sees some boats pull up. The Coast Guard come over. He said, what happened? They said, we saw your signal fire. Sometimes what we're thinking, that's the end of it. That's the time when Allah will send help. May Allah make us people who have proactive patience and we're able to use this to achieve or receive God's best in this world and the next. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.